be kind to yourself about it. Like, who cares if your first video only got 10 views like mine did? You still posted it.
When the UK went into lockdown, wedding pianist Nicole Reynolds had to look for alternative ways to generate income for her business. So she turned to TikTok, a social media app she'd previously dismissed as being just for teenagers and lip syncing.
If you go back to the start of my channel, it changed a lot. I tried a lot of different techniques before I found my niche.
In this interview, you'll find out how Nicole grew her TikTok following to over 70,000 in just 6 months, and how it helped her find new sources of income and find a new and unexpected niche.
If you're selling art, if you're selling food, anything, you want to connect to these people, because if they connect to you, they'll come back to you. You'll have loyal customers, loyal followers.
You're listening to the Courageous Content Podcast. I'm Janet Murray, and I love helping coaches, creatives, and entrepreneurs create super engaging content that generates leads and sales for their businesses. No one starts a business and just knows how to create engaging content. It's a skill that has to be learned and practiced. And there's always something new to learn, no matter how long you've been in business. And I know running an online business can feel messy. Perfectionism, fear, self-doubt, and other mindset stuff can stop you showing up online in the way that's best for you. So you'll get help with that too. Ready to get courageous with your content? Let's get started. I hear a lot of people saying that TikTok is just for young people doing dance routines. Is that true?
And that's exactly what I thought, funnily enough. But I went on there to share my music, and I certainly have not danced for one moment on there, and I have no intention of dancing on TikTok. Initially comes across as an app for people doing silly dances and lip syncing. However, it can be really educational, a lot of tutorials. There's a lot of doctors on there, like talking about mental health and physical well-being, which I find really great. Like, I love seeing that sort of thing. TikTok is an interesting platform in the way that it's quite intense. It's short, short videos, and you want to grab your audience as quickly as possible. If you grab people's attention within the first 3 seconds, I've found the longer they will stay and watch your video for, which then pushes your video onto other people's For You page, which is the result you want.
So how would you explain the For You page to someone who hasn't heard that before?
So the For You page is kind of TikTok's equivalent of a homepage, but it's all content it thinks you will enjoy. So I believe when you first get TikTok, you have to select your interests. So if you're interested in food and cookery or music, dance, art, sports, you select these interests and TikTok feeds you videos they think you'll enjoy. So for me, I obviously am very passionate about music. So I see a lot of music videos on my For You page. It kind of watches what you're doing in a non-creepy way. It's just so that you will enjoy the content you're seeing. Because for me, I don't want to see a video about football on my For You page because I'm not that interested in football. And TikTok knows I've never searched for football, but I've searched for piano covers, vocal covers, for production tips. So it feeds me all these videos that I actually really like and want to see. And I discover new creators. So it's great.
It basically serves you up what it thinks you're interested in.
Exactly that. It's like a personalized home feed of all the things that you will enjoy looking at.
You've grown to about 72,000 followers. What made you decide to get onto TikTok?
Boredom, mainly. The fact that we were put in yet another lockdown in the UK from, I think it was start of December, because I had a super busy festive season coming up at work, because I play piano in hotels and venues and I play for weddings. So I had a really busy festive season coming up, and then all of a sudden that was gone. So I was like, I need something new to do. And I kept seeing people repost TikToks to Instagram. I kept seeing that TikTok logo in the corner. I was like, hey, I should try that.
Did you have a plan or a content strategy?
Absolutely not. So I did a lot of full-length covers on Instagram and Facebook through the initial lockdown. So I just started posting snippets of them and just like snippets of a cover I'd done of, say, House of the Rising Sun or whatever. And then I started to notice people would occasionally ask for songs and request songs. And I was like, oh, I can do that song. So I started doing little covers there. And yeah, it was a kind of a domino effect, I think.
And tell us about your first video.
So my first video, which hilariously enough, I can remember, was a cover of the Pokemon theme song on piano with all my Pokemon teddies around because I like Pokemon.
Thank you.
And honestly, I think it got about 10 views. So don't ever be disheartened if your first 100 videos only get a couple of views, because persistence really is key. And my page didn't do that well in the first month.
So how did you come up with ideas for your first posts?
I started doing a lot of duet me's for singers, a lot of amazing, amazing singers on TikTok. And I noticed a lot of them on my For You page were duetting other pianists or guitarists. And I thought, hey, I could do this. So I started doing, you know, sing with me to this Whitney Houston song or sing with me to this James Bay song. And people would start duetting it.
If you're not familiar with TikTok, here's a quick explainer of duets. You can duet another video in TikTok. This basically means you create a video of you talking about somebody else's video or singing and playing along. Both your video and the video of the person you're duetting along with is visible. So what Nicole was essentially doing was providing a mini backing track for people to sing along to. TikTok videos are currently up to 60 seconds long for most users, although longer videos are being rolled out, I believe. Instagram Reels has a similar feature called Remix. You can even duet your own videos, which is a great way to repurpose content or create it quickly. For example, I recently used the Remix feature on Instagram Reels to show how I created a transition, which meant I was able to create a helpful tutorial in minutes. And of course, other people duetting your videos can be a great way to get your account in front of a bigger audience.
If I was doing songs that were, say, in the charts or really popular, they would get more engagement. And I was like, oh, okay, this is what people want to hear. So I'll keep doing popular songs or songs that people like and people know, because people are listening to them and enjoying them.
So it sounds like you were learning from your audience. You were putting out content that maybe you had an inkling might work, and then you were learning from them.
Yeah, they've basically given me all the tools I needed and all the ideas from day one. With any content you're putting out, if people want to know more, you've just got to feed from that. You've got to take their requests and ideas and fly with it. If somebody's taken the time to comment, to ask you to do something, there's probably a lot of other people that also want to see you play that song or sing that song or make that product, if that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. And did you spend any time researching other people's content?
Not really. No, I just went in on a bit of a whim and learned on the job. I just kept looking on my For You page every now and again and being like, oh, that's cool. That's fun. Maybe I could do that, but with piano or in a musical sense.
So there was a turning point for you with your TikTok, wasn't there? Tell us about that turning point video.
So I've always been really interested in looking at classical songs that maybe sound like, well, pop songs that take inspiration from classical music. And so I made a video saying Maroon 5 Memories was the song. Great song. It's so catchy because it uses the same chord progression and melody as Canon in D by Paco Bell, which is a classic aisle entrance piece for a wedding. So I made a video about that saying, this is why it sounds so familiar. This is why it's catchy.
Did you ever notice that Maroon 5 Memories was a little bit too familiar? That's because it was. It's also the same chord progression and same melody, give or take, as Canon in D, which a lot of people walk down the aisle to. Canon and D, and this is going to be Memories.
Some people commented and said, I thought everyone knew this. And some people commented and said, oh my gosh, this is why it's so familiar. This makes sense. People were tagging their friends to tell them about this. And that was it for me. I made something that made people want to react.
Yeah. And when we were talking on the pre-interview chat, I said, oh, I had that at my wedding.
Yes.
And it's that relatability as well, isn't it? It's about making people actually care about your content. I think that's it, isn't it?
Yeah. And chat about it. Somebody wanting to talk to you about this thing you've created and say, oh, I like that. I had a few musicians comment on it, a few music accounts say, well, everyone knows this. And it's like, well, A, they don't. And B, your comment's helping me. So that's cool. Keep commenting.
And how many views did that one get?
I think it's got about 250,000 now. Back when I was getting about 2,000 per video, well, I started, as I say, I think my first one got 10. All of a sudden, go from that to 200,000 was a really big jump for me. So I fed off that and thought, okay, this has given me some feedback. What can I create to keep people talking, to keep people interested?
So what did you do next?
I did quite a few videos where I added key changes to songs. So I lifted the key up, just like it does at the end of the Titanic song when it goes all big. I basically added key changes into songs that don't have key changes in them. And again, it split people down the middle. I had some people saying, no, this song is perfect, leave it alone. And I had some people saying, oh my God, this is brilliant. Why isn't this in the original song? So that was something I worked on for a while. And then I really feel like I hit my niche. So I'm a wedding pianist and I created a wedding aisle entrance for if Ariel from The Little Mermaid was to walk down the aisle. I did this by putting, again, Pachelbel's Canon in D, seems to be in all my good videos, Pachelbel's Canon in D into two popular Little Mermaid songs, which were Part of Your World and Kiss the Girl. And I said, hey, if Ariel was to walk down the aisle, this is what it would sound like. And people just loved it.
If Ariel had had an aisle entrance at her wedding, it would have sounded like this.
It became a domino effect almost. People were like, oh my God, what would Belle from Beauty and the Beast walk down the aisle to? What would Harry Potter walk down the aisle to? What would Padme from Star Wars walk down the aisle to? And all of a sudden, people wanted to hear these aisle entrances, and all I had to do was make them. So the fans and the followers helped me.
Yeah, so your audience told you basically what content they wanted you to create through their feedback.
Yeah, what they're great.
What you've hit upon here is something really important. I think a lot of business owners really struggle with niche, and it's like, I have to decide my niche. So I'm going to decide, this is my niche. This is what I'm going to create content about. And this is what I'm going to sell. And something I find myself saying to clients over and over again is your niche often finds you. And often it's that thing that keeps tapping you on the shoulder because maybe you don't even want to do it. Or maybe you're like, no, no one be interested in that. But
yeah,
keep asking. And it feels like your niche found you.
Yeah, absolutely. It was just an idea I had in my head where I thought, we don't see that many characters walk down the aisle in Disney. I wonder what they'd walk down the aisle to, because I play at weddings, because I've played hundreds of brides down the aisle, probably because I was missing playing at weddings due to the pandemic. I've done a lot of Disney ones. I've done a lot of film and TV ones. And now it's actually gone off on a slightly different route where people are asking me if they've got a family member or a friend that has sadly passed away and they want to feel like they're at their wedding. Can you do Canon in D or Here Comes the Bride into my best friend's favorite song, who's sadly no longer with us, into my father's favorite song, so it feels like my father's walking me down the aisle, even though he can't. Music has the ability to bring back so many memories. So I create these ideas for people and I mash their father's favorite song with a wedding aisle entrance song so they can walk down the aisle and have their loved one as a part of their special day.
Yeah, this is just so, so important, because when I'm talking to small business owners and they're saying, oh, I don't know what to post, I don't know how to attract my ideal customers or clients. And I'll often say, your content needs to connect with people emotionally. And clearly, yours does. Most content I see, business content, doesn't connect with people emotionally. It needs to make them feel something. And that's something that they feel might actually be, well, it might be that what you've created is divisive and they disagree, or they're riled, or they're upset, but it's got to make them feel something. And I feel like so much business content doesn't make people feel something. So you could have got out there and just posted videos of you playing and say, look at how cool I am. I play at the Savoy. I've played here or there. Look at me at the wedding. And people probably be like, hey, that's nice. you made it about your audience. I mean, that's certainly how it comes across to me.
When I went into it professionally and I started playing in hotels and restaurants and for weddings, all of a sudden it's not about you. You're not practicing at home on your own. You're playing to a room full of people who want to hear their favorite song or want to hear a song that brings back beautiful memories. And I think that's what I tried to channel with TikTok. And I think when you're selling a product, whether it be for me, I'm selling myself as a musician. If you're selling art, if you're selling food, anything, you want to connect to these people, because if they connect to you, they'll come back to you. You'll have loyal customers, loyal followers. They'll tell you what they want. If you look in your comments section, I guarantee, no matter how small or big you are as a creator, people will be asking you for things. And if you give them what they want, I think it's such a great way to go.
Do you feel it's easier for you as a performer and a musician to put yourself out there?
Yes, possibly, because I've got my piano to hide behind. Like, that is my armor almost. If it was just me talking, for example, the videos I do where I am talking, I do get quite nervous about those because that isn't my forte. My forte is playing the piano. It can be quite scary, but I feel like if you're passionate about it and you believe in it, you've just got to do it.
Can you talk about the outcome in terms of sales?
Yeah, so I've got quite a few wedding and private events bookings just through my TikTok following, which is great. People reach out, or people go to my Instagram and message me, or people email me. I record tracks at home for fees. So people contact me about tracks. I take them on as and when I can. For example, right now, my email's not in my bio because I'm too busy, which is crazy. But I obviously earn money from all of that because it's all very well posting videos online. But yes, we've all got to pay our bills. We've all got to eat. So for me, this has become income by getting booked for events, by creating tracks for people. And also on the lives, you get these things on lives called gifts. And they think once you're at £15, you can download that money into your PayPal account. That's extra money coming in there. When you get to 10K in certain areas of the world, the UK being one of them, you get into the TikTok Creator Fund. So you get a little bit of money every day for your videos if they're doing well. Yeah, it's only a pound or two a day sometimes, but it really adds up. At 10,000 followers, I actually was approached by the Learn on TikTok campaign and got paid a lump sum for doing piano tutorials. And I was only at 10,000 then, which in the grand scheme of things isn't a huge amount of followers, but I was still paid. And that really helped me out in lockdown to be paid this decently lump sum of money to make some piano tutorials. So don't ever feel like it's pointless. I think it can definitely work its way into work.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And I'm guessing that there will be people listening who will be thinking, well, this is all very well, but Nicole plays the piano and people love music. And what I have to sell is just not that interesting. My product or service, I can't make beautiful songs for people whose parents have just died or for them to walk up the aisle to. Can this still work for me? Can I still create engaging content? Can I still make a platform like TikTok work for me? What would you say to that person?
I didn't go on there and immediately look at pianists, but I wish I had, because that would have been much easier, because I would have seen immediately what was good and what wasn't. So go on and see if you're, you make candles, you create candles. Look at other people that create candles and see what they're doing. You can always make videos and keep them in your drafts. You can experiment with videos, keep them in your drafts, and when you're ready, you post them.
What about if you haven't got an audience though? So what people will sometimes say is, well, I started posting on TikTok, but I'm just not getting that much back. Like, I'm not really getting anybody engaging with my videos. What thoughts would you have on that?
Be persistent first and foremost and change it up. If you don't think something's working, try something else. If you go back to the start of my channel, it changed a lot. I tried a lot of different techniques before I found my niche. At the start, if you look back at my profile, all of my stuff was technically nosediving. It wasn't getting anywhere. And that wasn't because my content was bad. It was just, I was just new to the app. Maybe I wasn't posting at the right times. Maybe I wasn't using the right hashtags.
Something I often say to my clients is people get paid to create content for a living. And now they get paid by people like TikTok to create content. They get rewarded for being good at it. And it's almost like, what makes you think as a business owner that you're going to get onto a new platform and immediately know how to create amazing content? You've got to be a beginner. You've got to learn. And it's just like, I learned the piano and it's like expecting to be a concert pianist without having any lessons or after your first lessons. Like, you have to put the hours in. You have to do your scales. You have to do your arpeggios. You have to practice. You have to do the exams. Unfortunately, some people get to that mastery stage quicker and maybe more easily than others. But I don't think anybody can get to be good at something without actually putting in the time. And I'm always saying to my clients to remind themselves of that. Like, people get paid to create content. It is a job.
Yes.
Give yourself some time and give yourself the chance to get good at it.
Yeah. Be kind to yourself about it. Who cares if your first video only got 10 views like mine did? You still posted it. That's more than you 50% of people have done. So good for you. Social media is such a skill. It is a talent. Like, you have to make yourself good at it. I couldn't wake up one morning and be like, I'm going to run a marathon, because I haven't put in the training yet. It's exactly the same with social media. just keep trying things until it works, and it will eventually work. Definitely look at your previous work and think, okay, what could I do to improve on this? Or what are the comments saying that people want to hear or see more of? If you create something you're really proud of, own it. Even if it gets 10 views, it doesn't matter. I was really proud of my Pokemon cover that got 10 views. It's that balance of looking critically, but don't beat yourself up about it if it doesn't get that many views, because sometimes the people that want to see your video just might not be on their phone that day.
And for those people who might be feeling a bit scared about TikTok, what advice would you have about dealing with those nerves?
I would say do it in your time, do it at your own speed. You could always get it and just look at other people's videos for a month. You haven't got to post anything straight away. Wait until it's the right time for you. If you've posted some cool videos on Facebook and Instagram, you can just reuse those videos, just upload them. So you haven't got it's not like a whole new ball game. You can repost content, you can take your time with it, you can do it at your own speed and however you want to do it.
And how long does it typically take you to plan a TikTok video?
It can take me an hour or it can take me 10 minutes. It completely depends on if I've played the song before or how complicated the song is. If I'm doing a tutorial, it will take me around an hour because I've got to talk, so I need to draft up a script. So it varies.
How often should you be posting on TikTok?
I know everyone says 2 to 3 times a day, but that's a lot. I did do 2 to 3 times a day throughout the lockdown. But now that work and everything is coming back, I try and post once a day. And I find that fine. I think once a day is fine, but don't pressure yourself to do it every single day. You know, every other day is just as good as well. Do it as and when you have the time. Keep it regular.
There is a lot of advice on TikTok, isn't there, to say, post 3 times a day. And once you get to 1,000 followers and go live every single day. But that may not be practical. I always think it's better to do one a day, but actually do it rather than promise to do 3 a day and then last for 2 days because you're so busy with other stuff. It's just better to be consistent on a timeline that works for you.
Absolutely. I think one a day is a good amount for me because that means I can sit, for example, today, this morning, I sat and made 5 TikToks. That's my Monday to Friday worth of TikToks. It's recording them all on one day and then sharing them throughout the week is the method that works for me because then it's not overwhelming. It's not something I've got to do every day. I can just do it in one day and share them throughout the week.
Fab. And how important are things like hashtags and posting times on TikTok, do you think?
I think they definitely help for me. I looked at my analytics. I can never say that word. I'm so sorry. I looked into it and my followers were mainly online around 9 p.m. So I post around 9 p.m. Doesn't mean I stick to it strictly. It's just something I occasionally do or I try to do. Hashtags, I try and post 3 to 4 relevant hashtags. So for example, I'm not going to put the hashtag baking when I'm not baking, I'm playing the piano. So I just think relevant hashtags because that's how people will find your content if they're interested in it. And it's all about that target audience. You want people that are interested in your content, not something else that are there from a hashtag.
Totally agree. And a lot of people say with TikTok that they feel overwhelmed by just using the app. How did you feel when you first opened TikTok?
I think it took me a little bit of time to figure out how to add text to my videos, how to add effects to my videos. Go to that plus at the bottom and have a play around. You don't have to post everything you create. You could post a video. You could create a video as a trial run, playing about with text, playing about with effects, playing about with speed. And that's how I learned how to edit my videos, playing around.
Yeah, I'm exactly the same. I've always found the best way to learn is just to get stuck in and do it. Yeah. There are so many creators on TikTok who are creating really useful tutorials on how to use TikTok.
Yes.
And you can Google anything you're stuck on. There will be a video or a blog post or something out there to help you.
Absolutely.
I'm guessing that you've had some experience of trolls, haters, negative people. Can you talk a little bit about that?
As soon as you do an art, people have an opinion on it. It's exactly the same with creating content, no matter how big or small you are. So yeah, you get trolls. I have had people telling me I should give up, I should stop playing. Well, if I wasn't wearing makeup, I wouldn't get any views, which was a weird one. Sadly, you remember the negative comments more than the lovely comments that you get all the time. I've had classical musicians like come onto my lives and be like, sort your posture out. Your posture's terrible. It makes me feel sick. And I'm like, I'm playing Despacito in my conservatory. I'll sit how I want, you know. But all I have to think is, well, I'm a musician and I wouldn't go and comment on their stuff negatively. People will comment something on my video like, oh, this is terrible. Oh, you'd get no views if you weren't wearing red lipstick, you know, you're only getting views because you're a female. And I just put, thank you for your comment. Have a wonderful day. And I put a love heart emoji face. I'm not going to argue with you because I'm never going to win because you've got that much hatred in your body that you're just going to hate me regardless. So I'm just going to be nice to you and wish you well on your way. That or just ignore. It's hard to ignore sometimes. I find I feel a bit better if I reply with something nice.
The interesting thing is those sort of people never seem to be doing anything especially interesting on their own accounts mm-hmm. or actually publishing any content at all, but they've got so much to say about other people's. I feel with what you're doing that you've got a wider mission. So it's this mission, which is about making music more inclusive. Can you talk a bit about that?
I started piano lessons really out of the blue. My dad's a window cleaner and he was cleaning a ladies' conservatory and he saw her teaching someone piano and he was like, my daughter's got a little keyboard she messes around on. Could she come for piano lessons? So I went for piano lessons. I think it was once every 2 weeks and then once every week as I got older. And so I didn't fall into it because I was like, went to a music school. None of my family are really musical. I fell into it by chance, but it wasn't until I got a little bit older that I almost realized there was a lot of snobbery around it. Oh, well, if you can't sight read, you know, Beethoven's Fifth, then we don't want you to talk to you. Or if you haven't been to this music college or got this music grade, then people are quite intimidating sometimes. And it can be seen as like an elite hobby when really it's not. It's just making sounds. Like as long as you've got something to create sounds with, you can be a musician. I post a lot of tutorials on my page for people who can't read music, teaching them how to read music or teaching them how to play by ear.
That's one of the things I think that drew me to your account, actually. We spoke before we got onto the interview about me really coming from a similar background where I actually do come from a very musical family, but nobody's ever studied it properly. Lots of people play and sing very well by ear, but I was the first person to read music. And I got a place to read music at King's College in London, which if you know anything about it, it's a good place to get. It's a good place to get offered and they don't take many people. However, there was a turning point for me and I used to play for my county and I was at this big concert. And even though I wasn't as good as others at maybe reading the notes or the theory side, I was a really musical player. So I often used to get picked to do the big solos and I got picked to do this solo. And this girl walked up to me and she said, yeah, well, you're not doing it next time because I've already spoken to the music director and I'm doing it because I'm better than you. And I remember it was a turning point because I was scared about going to music college. I was scared about being around people like that. I went off and just decided to go and study English instead where I'd be more comfortable. But mm-hmm. I felt very, I think I also shared the story of going to Birmingham University and meeting these girls who were telling me they were just using their audition at Birmingham University as practice for Oxford or Cambridge and just being like, well, actually, I'd really like to come here. It seems. Yeah. And the classical music world can feel very, very intimidating. And I just love that you're opening this up and actually demystifying some of it. I love the fact that you're helping to create this even playing field, if you like.
It is really, really daunting, as you said. And those experiences, so sad, because if these people had just kept their mouths shut, you could have pursued music. And that's really, really sad. And I think that's something I'm focusing on doing. I play at some of the most prestigious hotels in the UK. I'm at the Savoy. I did play at the Ritz. I played at the Dorchester. I couldn't sit and sight read a piece of music particularly well. I like chords and I figure out by ear. Does that make me a pianist that isn't that good? I don't think so. I think I've just found what works for me and that's fine. It's like with anything. If you ask professional athletes, for example, do you guys train? Do you guys do exactly the same training and exactly the same diet plan? No, but they're both professional athletes. But it's not the same in music. We're not there yet. And I think as soon as we stop judging each other for being different is when we will move forward as musicians. Say TikTok is making it better because people are just going on there and showing their creative side and getting hundreds of millions of followers just from showing their creativity. Doesn't matter how much training you've got, anyone can create an account.
I think there is so much wisdom in this interview, but I have to be honest. My worry for you is that you've listened and enjoyed this episode and already decided that it won't work for you because you don't have a cool product or service like Nicole. But that's just not true. There is no such thing as a boring topic, only a boring treatment of a topic. And Nicole is right. The best way to find out what kind of content will resonate with your ideal customers or clients is just to put content out there and see what lands with your audience. Because your audience will tell you what they want to hear from you, as long as you are open to listen. I very much doubt Nicole would have discovered her new niche, arranging popular songs into bespoke wedding aisle songs, had she not been willing to experiment and take some risks. As in many cases, her niche found her because she was brave enough to create content without knowing what the outcome would be, and because she simply focused on being of service to her audience. I hope her story will inspire you to be more courageous with your content, regardless of the type of business you have and the social media platforms you use. Who knows? It might even inspire you to get on TikTok. If you'd like to connect with Nicole, you can find her on TikTok and on Instagram at PNCole. I'll put a link in the show notes. And if you enjoyed this episode, please do connect with her there. Maybe you'll even be brave enough to duet one of her videos. And if you enjoy this episode, please tag us both in on Instagram. I'm at Jan Murray UK. Would you like to grow your audience on social media? Head over to janetmurray.co.uk/audience to take my 60-second audience growth quiz. Find out the steps you need to take to build your online audience and your sales. You'll get a detailed report with actionable tips tried and tested with hundreds of my clients from both product and service-based businesses, so you can start creating super engaging content to attract your ideal clients today. Thanks for listening to the Courageous Content Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or share the episode on social media. That way, more people can benefit from the free tips and strategies I share. And be sure to tag me in when you do. I'm at Jan Murray on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.